not dead!
No! Thriller!
I think they saw you go down below.
Well, that kind of relates to the previous thing about wanting to see other guys' penises. But this is a show about Magic the Gathering called MTG Potpourri.
Yep.
So, Bruce Richards, thank you. It was actually your tweet saying...
Richard. It's Bruce Richard.
Are you serious?
Absolutely 100%. He's Canadian. Yes, it's Bruce Richard.
I also say Patrick Roy, and I know it's Roy.
You dead. Every Canadian is going to come after you now. You so dead.
And you also live closer to Canada than any of us. How are you going to screw this up?
So for Bruce Richard, so the S is silent. So it's like Taco in the Lego movie, where the S is silent.
You went to what?
I thought there was an S on the end of Richard.
Maybe, Richards. I don't know.
Bruce Richard... Thank you. Not only do you write an amazing article, but you're a tweet saying, I think these guys are dead. Their show has been on for like a month. Actually motivated me to say, let's actually do a podcast.
Can we just talk about that for a second? What, a month is all the time we get before we're written off? We're assumed dead? That's it?
It seems that I listen to a lot of podcasts that aren't Magic related. So like, tech ones, some movie ones. And it seems like outside of the Magic world, it's much more common to have what would be not bi-weekly, but an every other week podcast or a once a month podcast is not abnormal. I don't know if you guys have noticed from the Magic world, though. If you're not once a week, you might as well not record.
Well, a lot of that is just how quickly the content changes. It would be like if you had a Game of Thrones podcast and you only podcasted once a month, you're talking about four episodes or whatever, which is just way worse than weekly.
Yeah. So great. It's like movies, obviously, stuff comes out like, on a weekly basis, but typically if you record once a month, you can do the big previews or big news for June, July, or for movies, you could literally skip most of the summer.
You want to go through all the months? There's May, isn't there?
That's my favorite month. Actually, what is your favorite month?
My favorite month is easily December, because my birthday's in December, and I kind of, while the specific holidays don't matter much, I like the feeling of the holidays. I like how everyone's a little happier, a little nicer, and more willing to help. I like that. And it's snowy usually, so people are like more willing to lend a hand. They see you in need or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Pass out in the snow, having your fun.
That's exactly where I was going with it. Yep.
So much yellow snow.
You know what my favorite month is, Tom?
What is it?
It's November.
That's close.
That was going to be
almost,
my month.
It's almost like December, except better, because Conley's birthday is not in it. Not that it actually affects me at all.
I think you go there pretty good.
It is never hot where I live. Up in the Northeast.
Until
sometimes October
up.
Can have like a little heat spike and gets a little weird, but like November is always nice and cool, and the entire month is a build-up to gorging and a huge meal and just engaging in gluttony with pastries and pies and every vegetable you can imagine slathered in fats and the giant birds wrapped in bacon.
Okay, I was wondering if you guys like did like weird seafood Thanksgiving or something, like had like your crab orgy.
No, we're not Italian. That's an Italian thing.
That's an Italian
thing. It's also super delicious. I've never done it, but I want
to. Yeah, Italians do seafood for Thanksgiving, and they do Christmas on the 24th instead of the 25th.
I don't want to be racist, but there's not a pasta involved?
They usually do pasta, too. It's like a pasta seafood and stuff. Also, I don't think that's racist. I think that's... culturist.
I just imagine like a crab sized ravioli, like the entire crab inside a ravioli.
Okay,
kind of good actually. It'd be like deep frying a crab and stick it in a ravioli, and then deep fry the ravioli like they do at Olive Garden, which makes almost any pasta superior. Have you guys ever read the famous Grand Forks newspaper review of Olive Garden? In the Grand Forks, there is I'm assuming she's in her 80s. She does.
We just started the show. All right, continue.
Okay. No, it's worthwhile. No. I'll put a link in the show notes because it's very... She's 100% honest. I'm like, they finally opened a Olive Garden in Grand Forks. It's either Grand Forks or Fargo. I'm pretty sure it's Grand Forks. And so she went to try it out, and she wrote a very honest review of Olive Garden. Like, talk about the ambiance of Olive Garden, their fancy napkins. And it went viral. It is fascinating to read because she clearly enjoyed her meal. At Olive Garden.
Fair enough.
So for everyone that is thoroughly confused why we're talking about Olive Garden.
I am just as confused. I'm right there with you.
Besides its amazing food and great value?
Well, aside from that, because that's a really important point.
Endless.
It's because this
soup.
Is MTG Potpourri. We talk
Endless
about
breadsticks.
Magic. and whatever Tom comes up with.
I could see myself doing this.
Our not-Canadian resident. I'm Adam Sporsky. I talk about magic way more often than Tom. And then we're also pleased to have Conley Woods on the show.
As our professional player who actually knows what these cards do. Which ones are good together.
I'm an occasional guest, apparently.
Buzz regulars.
I'm just surprised you come back every time. I expect everyone to be the last.
Honestly, it's just because Tom invited me to his home at one point in our lives. Otherwise, I would have been out of here by now. Like, once you've seen the inside of another man's home, you kind of stuck with him.
I did invite you. I think I invited you to use our bathroom. You never actually been here. Have you?
I came in to get cards for Soul Sisters. We, like, walked around.
Oh, so that was the apartment, though. That was before the house.
Oh, whatever. It counts.
There were still cats. Yeah, cats and people.
There were cats.
All right. Like you said, it's a Magic the Gathering podcast. We have committed.
I've already talked about Soul Sisters. We're good. We're covered for at least a half hour.
If you want to talk about soul things, how about Soul Plane, the movie with Snoop Dogg? That was great. Watched that one recently.
Great?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
we agree. Let's move on.
Yeah, we're gonna have a movie discussion at the end because Tom has had a lot of clinic notes, so he's been watching a lot of really bad B movies while doing said clinic notes. But we actually have some really good magic news, and we should start with a big happy announcement. Adam, your contributions to the community at large have been acknowledged by the staff of Wizard of the Coast. What did they give you?
Besides her. You were totally breaking up there, Tom. I have no idea what you just said.
Oh, how about now? Am I any better?
You're occasionally breaking up, but I mean, we could do it.
Okay. I don't think I'm downloading anything. I apologize.
It's probably your new computer. We're going to blame it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Luckily, we record locally on my site, so it looks perfect.
Yay. Oh, okay.
So,
all right, but, so run that by me again.
Yeah, so we'll say one more time. Obviously, it's hard to answer a question if you can't understand what I'm saying. So, Adam, I was just saying basically what you do for the Magic community has been officially acknowledged. And share with people who maybe don't follow your Twitter feed or something else what happened. Don't mention Jared from Subway. Don't mention Jared from Subway. He's going to jail.
Something tells me he wasn't going to.
I sure hope he does.
I feel compelled to address it. Jared from Subway had nothing to do with this. Thank whatever God.
Full disclosure, nothing with Jared.
So last week this year's Community Cup team was announced, where they announced a team of wizards employees, typically kind of Magic Online-ish oriented, that do a bunch of stuff interfacing with the global community that plays there. And then a group of people from the community, usually notable streamers and other people that have done a lot of work in writing, production, community development, management, contributions, things like that. So they announced the whole team, and I'm on it. They said, "Stibs, come beat us because we want to lose." So I'm like, sure.
My question, how do they tell you that you made it? I imagine you getting like in the Harry Potter movies where you got like a purple fancy envelope that's closed with wax and gold filigree on it.
I found out like literally an hour before my announcement went live. They were like, "Hey, do you want to be in the Community Cup?" I was like, and
then
"Sure."
Then they punch you in the nuts like a buddy does.
An hour later.
Yeah, I just got an email. Like everything else in the world, like there's no gold filigree wax sealed awesomeness.
Well, how about the publisher's clearinghouse? Like they come to your door like a big envelope.
I'm pretty sure if like Hasbro people came to my door, it would be like, you know, lawyer serving a
we
paper.
Heard you.
I cannot imagine like any good interaction.
We heard from, you mentioned in the same sentence as Jared.
Right. So it was just like an email and they're like, you know, like, "Hey, you want to do this. These are the dates." And I'm like, wow, that like puts me away from my house for a fifth week in a row. Deal. Sure. So that's what I'm doing.
Father of the year there. Yeah.
That actually happened, a very similar thing when I did my Community Cup. It was like the Pro Tour was right before it, and there was a Grand Prix before that. So I went, I think it was like 7 weeks straight without being home because of Community Cup. And I was just like flying around everywhere. It was like California, Japan. I think there was something in Arizona or somewhere around there, and then back up to Seattle, and then back home. but it was just like the end of this like ridiculous trip where I had washed my clothes in like four different locations.
So I feel like I'm going to get kicked off this podcast because I'm literally the only person that hasn't been on the Community Cup.
No,
Conley, for you, were you community or pro? Or
well, it's community versus wizards. So there's
okay,
no
so you're like, community.
Pros are in the community side for the most part. I mean, I guess there's pros that work for or former pros that work for WotC that are on the wizard side.
Okay, but you're the on the community team.
Yeah, and then some people have been on both sides. Like Gavin was on both sides this year. I think somebody else gets to be on the other side for the first time. I don't know. Sam Stoddard's been on both sides, I think.
I feel like, yeah, if I had any chance ever to be on, it would have been about 6 years ago, so I'm pretty sure my ship has sailed for a Community Cup appearance.
Fair. I mean, some people could have said the same thing about Adam.
And I'm not very good at magic, which also doesn't help my chances.
People said the same thing about Adam.
Oh! Yeah, I don't really have like a talent, like a weapon to bring to the team. Like I thought like, oh, I do this Iron Root Chef thing. Yeah, that was something Mike Linneman and Anticipatory kind of come up with and Nate Holt got on board with. So like I felt like everybody that wanted to do it was great. And so like, you know, we got Robert Schuster. So he's on the community. He's on the Wizards team this year. And so he was able to come on and Gathering Magic and do the Iron Root Chef kind of challenge this past week. And, like, right now I have no idea if I'm going to win. Because apparently, like, everybody really liked, like, making things that aren't even insects, like giving them butterfly wings, you know, over, like, my circle of life thing with my daughter. So I don't know. Like, I'm probably losing the first thing that the community team can lose. So go me.
So, I mean, is the games played or wherever the formats, is that the same every year? Does it change up from Community Cup to Community Cup?
It changes up. You know, the, I mean, Iron Root Chef's kind of become like an ongoing kind of thing where you build a flavorful deck and everybody kind of battles with them. But they've like widely varied the formats. I think last year they showed off Consitark here, like the beta server for that on Magic Online, so it was like one of the first Consitark here drafts, and people could kind of see the format for the first time, like before, like right before the pre-release or right after the pre-release, before the in-store release. So it's kind of like a cool sneak peek kind of thing. So I imagine like the timing seems to line up with that, but like I have no idea what the formats are yet. They haven't announced them.
I mean, is there going to be a commander one? It seems like that you might actually be their secret weapon for.
If there is, the secret is I'm also bad at Commander. I don't have a knack for building, like, the cool value engine decks. Like, I build, like, these wacky, fun, you know, if we're going to sit around for 3 hours and play pizza and kind of have fun, I've got decks for that. Everything else, like...
We need to boost up your confidence, man. We need to have, like a montage with, like, you know, running up hills and down hills and, like, shuffling cards with Eye of the Tiger playing.
Yeah, I'm confident my teammates are going to carry me. That's my plan, is to help them do the best job they can carrying me.
The Community Cup actually leverages a lot of non-magic skills as well, like memorization stuff, general like game strategy that isn't magic related, like in terms of pairings and leveraging people's abilities and stuff like that. So like you're probably going to have a leg up there on other people just being me generally. I guess most people there are going to be generally smart, but...
All right, so I mean, for me, people that don't follow it closely, when is Community Cup happening, and how can like fans? How can they? Is this something that's going to be streamed? Like, how can people either participate or view the Community Cup?
It should be streamed. It's happening mid September, so I think September like 19th, 20th, something like that. Like that. Like 19, 20, 21, like that weekend. So there should be live coverage, kind of like a, you know, I think Loaded Ready Run is involved this year, so it's going to be a kind of a really fun crew kind of showing off stuff. So once they start announcing things, that'll be the way. The one thing you can do right now is I'm going to try to get it up this week on Gathering Magic, but everybody on the community team gave me a bunch of songs on Spotify, and we actually have like a unified Spotify playlist that has contributions from everybody on the series community team. And so like, if you like that, take a listen, shout out the songs that you like, that kind of stuff. Like that's kind of like what I've been listening to the past couple days, because it's actually really good music. Everybody has probably better taste than me also. But
I would make you cry probably with the music that I like.
Oh, maybe. I might like it, too.
Do you like 80s hair metal?
It's kind of those one little fun things where it's like, you know, it's the first thing we all kind of work together on and kind of got to see like how different people kind of prioritize things and kind of what their busyness level is. Like, who's the first one that was like, I'm going to send in a whole bunch of extra songs. Like, that kind of stuff is kind of neat. So it was a lot of fun to pull together and kind of get it out there. So we're starting to work together. We just don't know what we're working on yet.
All right, so Comedia Cup is going to be, I'm going to be more interested because I actually know somebody in it. The years that I've known somebody, I find it, you know, much more fun to participate and watch. So we got Comedia Cup coming up. The other big news is we are starting to get spoilers from the next set. So I know Adam's been pretty pumped about this. Conley is pumped in, I don't know what the negative version of pumped is, pissed.
Hey, pissed is strong. That's a bit of a strong word.
How about grumpy?
Disappointed.
The opposite of flaccid. What were?
I'm gonna go with disappointed. It sounds
good. Okay. It's I'm glad that you're disappointed after what 7 cards have been revealed so far on this set. That's
well, I mean, I'm disappointed specifically in set mechanics, which you like, even though they only show them on 1 or 2 cards, you know they're going to be on 20 to 50 cards or whatever.
So, should we just jump right into it? We're going back to Zendikar. People loved Zendikar, so everybody seems to be pretty pumped about this. There's only 7 cards. Adam, did you want to pick up maybe a couple of your favorites? And then maybe we'll have Conley talk about some of the mechanics that don't have him super excited so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really about like the mechanics that we know that we want to talk about rather than maybe the cards. Like, so when I really got back into Magic the last time, it was like a Lara block, and I had a lot of fun. And then Zendikar came out, and I was just like, this is it. This is the best thing ever. Like, I can't believe it's here finally. Like, I'm just super excited for this. So the thing that got me was the allies. Like, I was a big fan of like a non-sliver creature type that like was across all the colors. Like, elementals didn't really excite me, and it was like mostly like in red, you know, in Lorwyn, and like slivers are just like every color gets them evenly, and like they all do, you know, really weird things, and they get really annoying in groups. And allies felt really cool. Like, they all had like in flavor things for color, but like they wanted you to play other allies. The only way to do that was to like have allies in other colors. So like the veteran war leader, where it's like, hey, tap an ally you control and I get an ability. Like I don't know if that's like the ally mechanic this time around. Tom, I can see you.
I know.
Yeah, but like the idea that there, it's not going to be like, are you playing another ally? That the way allies worked before, you had to kind of overextend and keep pushing them out to get benefits. And now if it's more like, hey, they kind of like share and kind of like lend each other power, like I can push these abilities onto somebody else, like those kind of interactions like seem a lot more interesting, because now you can build ally decks of different colors that can do different things, but you put them together and it's just going to be stronger.
So like, so do you feel that allies are going to be pretty, so we have one card so far that, and I'll let you talk about that, mentions allies. Do you feel like this is going to be pretty well distributed amongst all the colors?
I mean, if it's like it was last time, I feel like it will be. Okay. I mean, like all of the key art that they kind of showed off during the San Diego Comic-Con panel showed like the vampires and the core and the merfolk, and like everybody's all kind of like ganging up because like literally the Eldrazi are just like eating and killing everything. So
yeah, like the whole flavor of allies is supposed to be like a D&D party. So if you didn't go across all the colors, you didn't go across all the creature types, then it kind of ruins the flavor. Like, the whole point is that they're not like tribal has existed always, so tribal is not new and exciting, but this is tribal across tribes. Like, you have a vampire ally working with the elf ally, working with whatever, because they all need to work together, because otherwise Eldrazi are going to eat their faces.
Yeah, and that's what excites me about this. In general, I've really liked the Eldrazi because it has a very strong Cthulhu feeling to me, and I will pretty much eat anything that's Cthulhu-like. So, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we already actually have a few Eldrazi already mentioned, and I'm assuming that this will maybe dovetail into Conley's thoughts and some of the mechanics or keywords so far.
Well, so the first keyword, it's rather simple in terms of the keyword itself. It has larger gameplay applications, but ingest, I think ingest is fine. It's whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. So kind of has some very light milling aspects to it. There are things to do in the set with exiled cards, such as Oblivion Sower, which is the first card of the set we saw, which is when you cast Oblivion Sower, target opponent exiles the top four cards of his or her library, then you may put any number of land cards that player owns from exile into player under your control. So every card, every land you've ingested up to that point, you're going to get back with Oblivion Sower, things like that. Pretty cool, whatever. I think the mechanic on its own is fine. I think casual players like to mill, so that's good. I think that assuming that there are cards that interact with it, like Oblivion Sower, then competitive players are going to be fine with it. I think that mechanic is fine. Adam can talk about more in a second if you'd like. The mechanic that I do not like is Devoid. So Devoid, very simple. It's
Devoid
just
of interesting stuff.
Yes, but it's just this card is has no color. That's what Devoid means. So the reason... In terms of gameplay, I think this is totally fine. Ghostfire plays fine. First of all, Ghostfire, note, is a colorless card without the mechanic Devoid. It does say this card is colorless, but it says so in reminder text. It's not even like rules text necessarily. But basically, my issue with this mechanic is that it is a lame mechanic to read. When you read that like something's Devoid, it doesn't add any excitement to the card. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't boost it in power level. You really, without context, Devoid means basically nothing. In addition to that, you don't need to keyword this. Like, the frames do this for you. Like, if, imagine if every single gold card you picked up was like old school. Or I get, yeah. So, remember when you would get a Sliver Queen and it would say, this is a Sliver, instead of just having Sliver on the type line? Like, it was just way more clunky. I know sometimes people found that cool or whatever. But imagine if gold cards were like that. Like, this veteran war leader that references allies. Imagine if the top just line just said, gold. This card is multicolored. Like, you don't need to say that because it's multicolored.
It has sparkle.
Green and a white. That makes it multicolored. If the frame of Devoid cards was just looked like Forerunner of Slaughter or like Dominator Drone, those cards are colorless. I don't care what their mana symbols are. You can just go, hey, this card looks colorless to me. It's probably colorless. I think that, like, you know, any rule that they set up for themselves to not be able to do that is both unnecessary and lame, and it led to what I feel is a very lazy keyword. Basically, I think that the keyword will probably play great. I think that interacting with colorless things is cool, but I just don't think you need to keyword it at all. And I don't know. It's like, you know, every enchantment creature didn't have to have a reminder text as enchantment creature. You just put it on the type line or whatever. Like, there had to be. They even have. They created those stupid little circles where you put the color of the card for flip cards and whatnot. Like Garrett letting you know he's a green card when he's flipped. Like, they created those circles specifically to let you know that things were a color that, if it wasn't obvious, they could have easily used those in these situations. I don't know. I just think that it's lame.
I feel like this is more for newer players where they may not understand or know yet about the card frame, kind of the information that tells you, be like, oh, hey, this card doesn't have a color. I get that.
So Conley, yeah. So I have a question for you from a designer standpoint. So I think there's a very obvious reason Devoid is a thing, and... You know, I'm kind of curious, like, what you think of this idea. So the idea of, like, the colorless Eldrazi, like, that's what they were, and it's, like, really this kind of cool thing. And then there were, like, some colored ones, but they were kind of, like, the little minion types. They weren't, like, any really big, splashy ones.
Yeah, there were no alien.
Yeah, it's, like, and so it kind of, like, paints design into a corner, right? It's, like, okay, you can have little tiny, like, kind of, like, they've taken over little guys, and then like all of like the big awesome ones like have to be like, you know, colorless, or like true Eldrazi are like colorless. And it's like the way you cost things and the way that you can kind of give colorless things abilities, like, is really particular, right? Like, you can't just make like an efficient removal spell in colorless, because then it's like giving that to every deck ever. You know, so like I think Devoid is a solution to like a very difficult problem that they had created for themselves, which is how do you give abilities to things efficiently without destroying the color pie? And like Devoid kind of lets you do that, where it's like, you know, you can in theory have like some sort of small Eldrazi that, like, if it were just like a regular black creature, like, you know, like I don't know, what's a good example? Fleshbag Marauder, right? Comes into play, everybody's got to sack something, right? Very, very classic ability. You don't want to put that on like a 3-mana colorless creature, because then you're giving it to a bunch of weird decks that have no business casting that. But if you give it to a Devoid, you know, an Eldrazi 3/1 that makes everything, you know, makes every opponent sack one, you know, that's like 3 and a black or something like that. Like it feels like it's in the right slice of pie. The right decks can only cast it. It's much easier for limited to balance around, but you still get your colorless Eldrazi kind
of
thing.
Sure, and I'm fine with the functionality of Devoid. I think that like you could have that exact same functionality without having the keyword Devoid. Just have the card be a colorless card with the mana cost up there and tell everyone ahead of time, hey, if a card frame is colorless, except for the top part, it's a colorless card. Just like a black-red card has a gold frame, you don't go, hey, this is a bright yellow card. It's clearly not black-red. No, it's black and red because like we have established ways of mana sort of meaning something and frames kind of telling us color, and if the card frame was colorless, I think that way we get there without needing kind of a keyword that reads lame just because it has no inherent coolness to it. Something being colorless doesn't make something cooler necessarily. I mean, there are some implication there where if you know that Eldrazi are colorless, then maybe you put two and two together, but I think that's asking for a bit much. I think functionally it'll probably be fine. Like, I'm all for having a kind of something that doesn't necessarily make sense. Like, colorless colored creatures aren't something that needs to exist. Like, Magic could have existed for forever without this happening. But when there's a cool flavor tie-in with a world, I'm for it because it's kind of, you know, it's neat to talk about. It's neat to kind of have as a one-off. Now, if this was a block that happened every 3 years or something, I'd be like, why? Like, if colorless cards are colored cards, then what the hell is a colorless card? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, there's kind of the whole reason colorless exists is to be different than colored cards. So if colorless cards can also be colored cards all the time, it would make sense. But having it, like, in a flavorful way like this would be fine.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I had not noticed that so far of the three Eldrazi we have, that it's the drones that are the ones that have Devoid with a colored mana cost to them. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So, I like the Eldrazi draw. I think it's kind of a neat tribe or whatever you want to call it. So it's going to be fun that we actually have some smaller ones that are, quote, colorless, that do things besides just poop out drone tokens. So I'm kind of excited for that.
Also, these guys being Eldrazi, like there's previous Eldrazi drones couldn't be cast by things like Ugin because Ugin only affected colorless creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they were Eldrazi, they didn't get affected, whereas like these guys can, even though they're not colorless.
But their color identity is their mana symbols. And
yeah.
So this is something where I don't know, Adam, I haven't read your kind of latest article yet, the Ask Dibs questions, but did it come up about Devoid with Commander? Is that already been asked?
No, because I had asked Will before this week's announcement with the Battle for Zendikar dual deck. Yeah, Matt Tabak got a bunch of rules questions about it. It was like, can we use these in colorless commanders? You know, and it's like,
see Ghostfire, please.
No. Like, short answer, no. Long answer, no.
Well, I think it did help when I read kind of the difference of what color identity versus color was. I mean, then it made sense. Like, oh, okay, it doesn't matter what my text box says. I just have to, kind of like Colin says, I'm looking at the card and it says, I see a black and a red mana symbol. Too bad. This is not going in your Memnarch deck.
Right.
Which is accurate.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of it. I mean, so far we just have you kind of talk about the different drones, which I think are pretty cool. Adam, did you want to tell us a little bit more about the Veteran War Leader? So he is our human soldier ally creature guy that we have so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that crazy sexy. I mean, he's just like a kind of, he's like a Keldon Warlord, right? He's cost one green, white, and he's as big as the number of creatures you control. So like Scion of the Wilds, like that kind of card. So like the more creatures you have, the bigger he is. But his kind of like ally ability is you tap another ally you control and you can give Veteran War Leader first strike, vigilance, or trample until end of turn. So it's like kind of one of those things where it's like he is like, you know, on top of the ally army, and like you tap three allies and you've got a first strike, vigilance, trample dude that just kind of like whacks in really hard, and then like when somebody attacks into you, you can block and give it first strike and stuff like that. So it's one of those, like, you know, that's what I meant by like kind of like, is that the ally thing, like lending abilities to each other, like kind of like that teamwork kind of feel, rather than like you know, the constant stream of allies making them all stronger and stronger and stronger. Like, I like the teamwork aspect, the ability to kind of use different allies to kind of assemble like a much better ally when you have them. Yeah. that's why I find it interesting. Like, I'm really curious to see, like, how that plays out. Like, is this the representative ally for the set?
And personally, just from a flavor standpoint, I do like, even though it's probably not great, Retreat to Kazandu, just because it gives me sort of that Kudzu Vine Lasher vibe, where I can play lands and make my creatures bigger. That one I kind of like, because I loved Vine Lasher Kudzu a lot. That card was out. Because it was a plant.
I played that card many times. I had a vintage deck that revolved around Fast Bond, Aboro, Powers to the Clouds, and Vine Lasher Kudzu, and winning on turn two.
Nice. Now, have you guys ever played an actual game of Magic and cast the actual Kudzu enchantment? That used to be one of my...
Kudzu is awful.
It used to be one of my favorite cards.
It's terrible.
Because the art is... It's by Mark Poole, but it's...
The art is also awful.
It's pretty terrible, actually, too. Just looks like a guy fell while mowing his yard, and it's like, just give me a hand up, please. And in case, for our newer players, if they did not play back in the revised Unlimited sort of beta alpha times... We have Kudzu. It's an enchantment. It's weird to see the actual Oracle text on this. It's an enchantment aura. It's a one green. Enchant land. When enchanted land becomes tapped, destroy it. That land's controller attaches Kudzu to a land of his or her choice. It's very flavorful, which has always liked it. And I kind of like just the idea of creeping plants running around killing lands.
Here's a tip. Move it to a tapped land, not an untapped land. You do not want to lose all of your lands in one turn.
No, that gets really bad.
Yeah.
So, since we have, I mean, we're going to be, I think, Adam, you had said, I mentioned this, the preview machine's going to start running, so should we be expecting more regular previews to be excited about? The hype machine?
Couple weeks before full-fledged previews.
Well, not really, because this is the big fall set that's kind of tied into PAX. So earlier, I think it was today or yesterday, they announced they're doing like basically a big spoiler show at PAX. So traditionally PAX Prime has been host to basically like a kind of an exclusive Magic party where Wizards rented out a venue and would have like a big dance party with like food and drink, and like you'd have to kind of jump through a bunch of hoops, and a limited number of people could earn entry to this like big party. And at the party they would show off cards and all sorts of awesome stuff from the new set. Like for like the year they did Return to Ravnica, they showed like the Gatecrash guild mages without like their text. So like it showed like all the guild stuff. Like there's going to be a new cycle of guild mages. It showed, you know, dual land, the Shocklands were back. Like that whole kind of thing. So that's been going on. I don't know since Zendikar. Zendikar I think was the first one where there was like a Hedron with like a $20 bill origami lotus in it. You know, it was like $1,000 or $500, something like that, and somebody got that lotus of cash.
I'd rather have an actual lotus.
Yeah, so we're going back to Zendikar. So instead of going back and giving like maybe everyone cash origami lotuses of $500 and $20 bills, they're actually like kind of doing an integrated effort with PAX itself. So there's going to be like a live spoiler panel with like I think Will Wheaton and Felicia Day, and kind of like a.
Oh, I can't. Felicia, if I hear Felicia Day one more time, I'm fucking barf. Overexposed. Will Wheaton though can do no wrong.
Sure. So they're putting on kind of like a show for that, and throughout I guess Saturday, kind of leading up to the party, kind of they'll have the crescendo of like spoilers, and then like the party is kind of like an open, anybody that goes to PAX can show up to this. So I suspect it's going to be a little different than it's been in years past. I don't think they're going to have, you know, food for 5,000 people or something like that. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to go down. But it looks like the spoilers are going to be kind of like more community facing this time. It's not an exclusive like
party, I guess. Okay.
Random people are kind of tweeting about it. It's more of like a controlled, kind of like a show where like everybody can kind of get a glimpse at this. Because Saturday is kind of like in the middle of the World Championship schedule. So like there's Thursday, Friday, 2 days of World Championship broadcast going on. Saturday is kind of like a big celebration at PAX with the new set and all sorts of stuff. And then Sunday is going to be the top four for the World Championship, I think, is the schedule that I'm aware of. So that's it's going to be kind of just an ongoing streak, you know, 4 days of awesome magical stuff going on.
So since it has Felicia Day and Will Wheaton, is this presentation, the show, somehow officially linked with, is it Geek and Sundry? Is that their like channel or show? I'm an old man, so sometimes I don't get these things.
Yeah, I think both of them have been on Geek and Sundry. I don't think it's officially...
Not officially linked. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I was going to say, are you going to PAX, Adam, as part of the coverage? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be part of the coverage for the World Championship, and then Saturday and Monday are kind of my days off, so to say. So I'm going to be trying to do Commander and pictures and kind of share, you know, I'm going to make it Monday is when the panel is, the big, they always do like a big creative panel. So I'm really looking forward to that because they always have a couple things, a couple gems just for that. And it goes a lot into like the story and like the flavor and kind of like what's really going on. So like, I'm interested for things like they're going to talk about what Devoid means, like in the flavor sense, like, you know, are the Eldrazi taking on the characteristics of the things they eat? Like, that's actually kind of a thing that would make a lot of sense, right? Like, Oh, I'm eating this jungle, and I kind of, like, become, you are what you eat. So, like, they get
like
this,
Kirby.
Nintendo. You know, they get this greenness to them. They're still colorless, they're still Eldrazi, but, like, there's a greenness to them. You know, I don't know what they're gonna say, but, like, that kind of, like, if you're interested in, like, understanding a little bit of, like, the flavor ramifications of the mechanics that are in the set, like, that's always a real highlight. Clearly I like it, so I'm looking forward to it.
PAX Central is one of those things that always seems like such an amazing, I don't know, because it has video games, as you mentioned, Magic, there's pretty much anything you could want. It's like a cooler E3, it feels like to me now, that's publicly available. But usually sells out really quickly, doesn't it? If somebody wanted to go, is it too late already to go to PAX?
Probably.
It is very difficult to get tickets. I had a friend who decided to go kind of at the last minute, looked into flights and was like, I can make this happen. And so I was able to find a pair of tickets for her. I'm looking for a pair of tickets for her husband now. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. It's very, very tough to get tickets now. I got very lucky. You know, I just happen to know a lot of people, and I found the right connection that got me to one. So, you know, if you want PAX tickets, it's usually you've got to like hover over the PAX Twitter handle, waiting for the announcement that it goes live, and then you've got to get in the queue immediately because, you know, for 3 years running, I've tried to get my own tickets, and I get to the queue 30 minutes late because I'm invariably busy with something else, and it's far too late at that point. So,
and then Conley, for you, have you ever gone to like a PAX or something similar?
Never to a PAX. I mean, I've gone to Gen Con, but
I didn't know something with, you know, for the company with, you know, designing.
Oh,
games.
No, I'm sure I'll be attending more of that kind of stuff once our games are live.
Okay, that's what I was kind of curious if you would be like kind of presenting or even like showing them at, you know, something.
Oh, probably, especially one of our bigger projects that we're working on. But yeah, I'll probably be at some booths and or giving some presentations at some point in the future. But up to this point, everything's been under wraps, so not much time.
Well, if you ever come to Minnesota, we'll take you to Culver's. So I know somebody else really likes Culver's.
I grew up in Chicago, first of all. I've been to Culver's many times.
Do they have them in Colorado?
They have a couple, yes, but I don't go to them because they're like pretty far away.
Yeah, exactly. So you're in
withdrawal. I spent 17 years in the Chicagoland area.
Withdrawal. That means it's more ingrained into your the custard is part of your bones now.
The thing I miss the most is gyros by far. It's not Culver's. It's just a good gyro. You can't get good gyros out here.
We have Dino's gyros. It's like a chain. They're probably really good.
They're probably
being Minnesota gyros.
Yeah, that's what Minnesota's known for.
they're no gyros.
What were you even talking about? It was something. Oh, PAX.
Talk about PAX.
Yeah, I'm not going to this particular PAX. But I, as I said, I'm sure I will be attending more, especially next year. Probably be a hot point for us.
Cool. Well, what else we got? Oh, we got some mulligans going on that are going to be official. The thing could vote by now for how long it's been out, but officially it's live now, or will be live.
No. It officially will be the rule once it's the rule, but it's not the rule yet.
Give me a fucking day. Give it a date.
No, I mean, we know the day, but it won't be the rule until Battle for Zendikar.
It's so annoying. Make it live. I just want to go to the Wizard of the Coast.
It should have been live the day that they announced they were potentially going to use it at all, because
instead of Adam's article, I just want to just one page that just says, Mulligan is live today. Tomorrow there will be content again.
The thing is, like, I understand that they were potentially worried about degenerate decks using the new mulligan rule to become more degenerate. That was the fear. But the test case for it was a standard Pro Tour, where that is basically not going to happen because the deck's not powerful enough for looking at one card to make or break an entire archetype, basically. Second of all, what data besides that were they going to get back to go, nope, we don't like it. Like, nope, players hit their third land drops too often. We're not okay with that. Like, I don't understand what they were possibly just waiting for to get confirmation to go, yeah, like, you could have just talked to players. You could have had players test it. You could have brought in some pros and had them play 10 games and mulligan every time and go, hey, did you like this better than the other mulligan? And they would have gone, yes, I like not getting mana screwed in one less game out of the three that I mulliganed. That's awesome. And then we would have moved on. And we were all on a great rule. Instead, we've been talking about this stupid thing for 4 months, and none of us have officially been able to play with it yet. And then today we get announced that, hey, you do get to officially play with it, but not until it's officially a release another 2 months from now.
Yeah, with Battle of Zendikar, right? Is that the official with the release?
Well, Battle of Zendikar release. So you technically, yeah. I don't even know if this will be in place for the pre-release.
See, that was my question. That's confusing.
Which will be I'm like 90% sure it's for the pre-release. Like, but the pre-release forward, like, you get the new set, because it's like Magic 2010, right? When the new set came in, that's when like Mana Burn went away. That's when, like, the rules changed. Like, as soon as that hit,
but they're all those cards are released, though. That's where it's confusing to me. I think a lot of players are going to show up and not necessarily.
The headline on dailymtg.com for this article: new mulligan rule starting with Battle for Zendikar pre-releases.
It said pre-releases. Okay. I'm corrected. Let me pull it up.
I mean, that is a minor thing. That's 1 week apart. But we still have to wait another 6 weeks? Is it 6 weeks or five? Something like that. Like a month and a half or to 2 months, something like that, before the rule is in effect. Up to that point, I read a couple of judge articles where even if you and your opponent agree to use the new mulligan rule, you are not allowed to. Basically, the only place you can use the new mulligan rule until Battle for Zendikar is kitchen table, commander type stuff. Yeah. So do not try to mulligan and then scry.
Okay, and it says it will also be live for Magic Online with the online pre-releases too. Okay.
I mean, that's if it took them more than one dude and an hour to get this coded into Magic Online, I would be very disappointed since scry is already there.
It's a house of cards, man. I don't know.
Scry one. Like, you just have to put, did player mulligan, yes or no? Yes, scry one. That's can't take.
Do you, I mean, and do you feel like from your side of me at the pre-releases, is this going to be like, I mean, is there going to be like big posters about it? I feel like there's a lot of players that go to pre-releases that may not have been exposed to maybe a lot of the coverage of this.
I mean, it's not a hard concept to really, like,
maybe you just don't know about it.
If a judge just at before each tournament, like for the first month or whatever, just goes, hey, remember, if you mulligan, you get to scry one before or when you're finished mulliganing.
So you think it's just become part of that sort of pre-tournament little...
I'm sure, I mean, good judges will certainly announce it. I'm sure that, you know, some places that don't have judges or whatever will let it slide. And then there's plenty of places where the players are going to police it themselves and be like, hey, remember, you mulligan, you can scry. And also, like, if you mulligan and don't scry, it's not the end of the world. It's not like the game's ruined and we can't continue and, you know, what would have happened otherwise? I mean, like, you have a little bit of, oh, what would have happened, but it's not like, you know, we were in turn 10 of this game and some crazy rules that are actually happened and we can't go back and fix the game state. So I don't know. I think that it'll take some getting used to. Players will probably make incorrect strategic mulligans for a while just because there's a couple of small factors that probably change their percentages. But at the same time, like, it's basically pure upside. Might as well just enjoy it.
I mean, in general, it seems like people are going to like it. It's hard. You get more options. I know most people are going to like that. Really exciting topic, because we're just like, I'll sit here looking at it.
Super excited.
Look at it. We're just looking at ourselves.
So now it's just time for the outro. Mm-hmm. Since it's already this far into the show.
Are we good? Oh, let me hit the audio recording.
Exactly. I knew something was
going.
He hadn't pushed enough buttons yet.
Yeah, it's like mission control. Where it's like, I'm Skyping, and I got my this recording going, and video, and I got the webcam.
And a microphone. So Tom's computer hates us, all of us. MTG Potpourri, as a group, all of us are hated.
I think it's probably that I'm doing this down in my workshop, so that's why there's a cat kennel right there. Also why there is a box of nitrile gloves sitting next to my computer, as I'm in a workshop. Not my torture den. Not a torture den, just so you know. But next week I will plug... I'm using just the built-in Wi-Fi. I'll get an actual antenna dongle sticking off this thing So it's even more Frankenstein-like laptop array because it has a 600 things coming out, but I'll get one more for a better connection.
I feel like Thompson.
What's that?
No, you're good.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for your computer to poop on us again. It's getting close.
I hope not. I can't afford to buy a desktop just for downstairs, but if I have to do it, that's what we'll do. But no, old blue here hopefully will last through this. So guys, we actually recorded MTG Potpourri, got through all of our stuff. Share with me, guys, how if people want to either contact you, maybe where else you do content. Just in case, I always like to have that list here at the end of the show. And maybe we'll start getting emails then as well if we actually do this podcast more than a few times a year.
Probably. All right, I'll go first. So you can find me on Twitter at Conley8181. That's probably the best place to find me. Content on TCGPlayer.com and ChannelFireball.com. That's all I got.
Adam.
I'm Adam Saworski. I write Command Tower every Thursday on DailyMTG.com, the official Magic the Gathering website, the content manager for GatheringMagic.com. I'm on Twitter as the_Stibs, S-T-Y-B-S, so you can yell at me constantly there. It's my favorite thing when people yell at me on Twitter. It's great. So yell at me.
You probably have gone through more than your usual fair share probably over the last couple weeks, so I feel bad.
I get the strangest. But one second, I'm gonna literally read you this verbatim. I received a message from a.
This wasn't guest, me. I haven't sent any. Guest. I haven't sent any weird deep text tweets to you in a while.
That's fair. This one was on Facebook, and I don't know whether to call this person a fan or not. But the message is, "Hey Conley." And by the way, I've talked with this person in the past about like actual magic things. I have a history with them. But it's just, "Hey Conley, I need your help. I got my head into the toilet and I can't get it out. Call the police and the firemans. Help me."
I'm going to say that's a fan, because unless they have a really little head, it would be tough to get them stuck in the toilet.
Or a really big head. They also had the wherewithal to type "help me" in all capitals, so they knew that they were in some actual dire need. But that's the kind of stuff that you get on social media every once in a while when a bunch of people have your information.
Yeah, that's a,
I,
that's,
so I, yell at me on Twitter, but I will not help you unstick your head from toilet.
Sure.
Just not my wheelhouse of expertise.
But if it was somebody you knew well that contacted you, say, through Facebook and lived close by, where you theoretically could go render assistance in a timely fashion.
I feel like if they have the ability to message me on Facebook for help, then they probably should be calling someone more qualified and or of closer.
Yeah, if your head's stuck in the toilet, you might be able to still do like Siri or Google or something.
Yeah, but why aren't you 911-ing? Why are you Conley-ing?
If you're not about to die from the head being stuck in the toilet, some people might have a little bit of self-dignity saying, "Boy, if I can do this without paramedics coming to..."
Let me tell you something. If you're calling me to show up to get your head out of the toilet, and that is of higher self-dignity than calling 911, you have some effed up priorities and you don't know me.
Right? You would be first on my list.
You will not let that down. I will camera phone the shit out of that. I will put it on Twitter. It's over for you.
I'd be like, "My foot stuck in the catch of the toilet." You'd be like, "Why are you naked?" I said, "One in a thousand chance. You know, I was on the unicycle. I fell into the toilet naked and foot got stuck."
I'm just saying, if any of my friends ever zip up there, you know what? Don't call me first. You can call me. I will come help you. But you should do damn well that I'm a last resort, because I will ruin your life.
Right. Well. Toilet Man Tom, take us out.
Yep. I guess I've never seen anybody get stuck in a toilet. I've had people get stuff from a toilet stuck in them, if that makes sense.
No, but just keep going.
Okay.
Just keep...
Plungers. Let me just say it. Plungers.
That's not from a toilet.
Related. We'll say toilet
related. I was thinking of all the things inside of a toilet and I couldn't figure out.
I guarantee somebody at some point has gotten like a, you know, those like little pucks you put in the bottom of your toilet to keep it like blue and white. I'm pretty sure that's gotten stuck somewhere at some point. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to contact us, the show, I love getting tweets because I'm, actually, one of you guys tweeted through the MTG Potpourri Twitter feed. I was impressed.
It was not me.
99.9% of the tweets from that are from me.
It was not me, because 0% of the tweets are from me.
So that 0.01 was Adam. I was impressed. It was actually a well. It wasn't. It was actually.
Yeah, it probably had spell check and relevance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It did. It didn't talk about us taking podcasting fiber supplements to become more regular for podcasting. I was pretty proud of that one. And it wasn't some sort of weird comment to Conley when he starts talking about, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I don't know if you play Dota or League of Legends. It's one of the two.
League of Legends.
League of Legends. We start using all the, you know, jungling your lanes with 3-on-2s, tops, and all the random other things I've seen you tweet about.
Yes, yes, they're called words. They have context.
And they're abbreviations that make no sense when they're all strung together.
They make some sense, just not to you.
Yeah, that's true. To sane people. So at MTG Potpourri, we love to get tweets. We also love emails. We have the longest email. We're actually in the Guinness Book of World Records for longest email address of all time. So it's mtgpotpourri@gatheringmagic.com. If you don't believe me, go look it up. And you can also follow me on Twitter at PSGReader for usually talk of B-movies, kid photos, and cat photos. So if aficionados of any of those, if you're aficionado of my kids, stay away. But
just to be clear for any of our young listeners out there, when he says B-movies, he doesn't mean the insect. He means bad movies.
What do you mean by B-movies? I get it.
Yeah, I get to see some people with, like, getting a movie recommendation.
Like, from you. He likes M. Night Shyamalan movies? That one sucked. All right. We're at the end of the show. Besides the technical difficulties, and again, now it is completely clear.
But the thing is, they don't even know. Why'd you have to mention the technical difficulties? They didn't even know.
If they ever listen to Monday Night Magic, like, once the 6 years on it, they know that technical difficulties is part of the roadmap.
It's true.
Yeah. Were you with us when we pre-Skype days, we still used Gizmo? It was, like, before there were Skype recorders?
Yeah. I was the first couple times, I was one of the people you had call in and, like, be a guest.
Yeah, so, yeah, Gizmo. It was the only option you had, but yeah, that thing.
And we did some TalkShoe for a while.
Oh, TalkShoe, the call quality was worse than...
It was talking. So bad. I couldn't hear... We would have people call in and ask questions, and I couldn't understand what they said.
I loved it. Oh, God, it was just the chaos, though.
It felt like a digital campfire.
It did. And then especially when TalkShoe was...
Just talking over each other, nobody's making sense.
And then the random questions that people thought was a show about, like, magic tricks and would ask us random questions about magic tricks.
Yeah, because you left open to the public and we would just get randos. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went to Las Vegas and I saw this show where people would, like, they'd go in a sheet, they come out, they were in a different outfit. How do they do that? We were able to answer the question, though, which I was impressed. Adam, do you know what that type of magic is called?
It's called getting your card altered.
Basically, what is the official name for a quick change magic? It's called Protean magic. I actually read an entire book about this.
Are you bragging about knowing?
I'm bragging about my intimate knowledge of Protean magic.
All right, fair enough. All right, guys. This feels like a good place to wrap up the show, everybody. Tom's big dick magic sticks out. He knows everything.
I won't share. This was very personal information Conley shared with us before the podcast started, but I was impressed.
Adam's face went from 0 to -100 as quick as you can imagine.
Yeah. The whole fire hose discussion just didn't help. So, guys, everybody, email us, tweet us. It's great. Follow these guys. They actually know magic. I'm in my basement.
All right.
We'll see you guys later.
Good night, everybody.